WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of
Weren't you shot?
The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 12th episode, The Rabid Dog.
In response to the rising crime in our fair city, I pledge, as district attorney, to try for maximum sentencing for violent and heinous acts, with no hesitation to send criminals to the chair.
After 3 months of radio noise, I was getting damn tired of hearing this Murdoch joker talking about the chair. Don't get me wrong, I'm not some softy who wants to give criminals a beer and a pat on the back. I just don't need to hear it every time they fry one of them. Unfortunately, given my 3 months of injury-caused retirement, I hadn't had much to do other than listen to the radio. But with a clear bill of health, a fresh bottle of gin, and an empty wallet, I was ready to get back to work. Trouble was, Deborah had gotten used to me answering the phone. Deborah, are you gonna get that?
Why don't you get it? You're not doing anything.
Are you doing anything?
I'm reading a magazine.
Am I paying you to read magazines? Aw, hang it. Harry Flynn Detective Agency. Harry Flynn speaking.
I think I have a problem for you. Can you take care of it?
Well, miss, that depends upon what's wrong. Why don't you tell me about it?
It's my husband. But I can't talk about it on the phone because... Oh, I'll just have to explain it to you in person.
That's just fine. Why don't you tell me your name and where to meet you?
I shouldn't have called. I have to go.
Wait, lady. If whatever you're caught up in is big enough to have you this nervous on the phone, I have to go just isn't going to cut it.
You're right. Do you know the Bar Glens?
Do I ever?
Well, just 3 buildings down from that is a little coffee shop called the Tilted Saucer. Meet me there in 1 hour.
Oh. Yeah, I'll be there. But how will I know who you... Hello? Are you there? Crazy dame must have hung up. Already this case had me 7 different kinds of nervous. Being a private eye doesn't always lead to the most pleasant of situations, but the last thing I needed after my break was an immediate reminder of that. But Harry Flynn doesn't sit by when a woman is panicked enough she's stumbling over her words like a drunk, even if she is married. I hung up my phone, grabbed my coat in 38, and... Deborah, would you get that?
Fine. Harry Flynn Detective Agency, this is Deborah. Oh, hello, Officer Spinelli. How have you been? Uh-huh. And things at home? So you want to speak to Harry? It's funny, he keeps telling me to answer the phone, but it's always for him. Yeah, I'll let him know. Hey, Mr. Flynn.
All right, I get it. Just give me the damn phone. Hey, Spinelli.
So, Harry, was she always that pleasant, or is working for you bad enough to turn a woman into a crone?
Save it. I've got business to get to.
All right. I'm just calling to let you know we've seen some trouble in your area.
Trouble? What kind of trouble?
A 28-year-old girl knifed 2 blocks from your business. Figured it was close enough you ought to know about it. Maybe keep an eye open.
Sure. If I see anyone running down the street with a cleaver, I'll call you first.
Yeah, call me. Don't go running in like you're some kind of white knight cowboy. We don't want you getting sent to the hospital again.
I'll see what I can do, but I've got to run and get coffee.
That's business? Sounds like I went into the wrong field.
Nah, just the wrong branch of it. With that and a heated glare at Deborah, I headed out to get coffee at the Tilted Saucer. The place was close enough to Glenn's that I could practically smell the cheap whiskey. Ah, roasting coffee. Besides baseball and apple pie, there's nothing more American.
Hello, Governor. Welcome to the Tilted Saucer. What can I get for you today?
So much for American. Just a medium.
Well, the house is a very nice Kenyan blend, and our other specialties are our Colombian and our Italian espresso.
Look, coffee. Black. Just do it. I tossed down 20 cents for the coffee and took a seat facing the door. A quick glance around told me the woman I was looking to meet hadn't arrived. At all the tables but mine were couples sitting together over softly steaming drinks and glancing furtively in my direction as if to ask, "Who dares to enter without a partner?" I tried not to let it bother me as I started thinking of Carolyn off somewhere. It even dawned on me that this is more the kind of place Carolyn might like rather than Glenn's. I probably should have brought her here.
Hello. Are you Harry Flynn?
I looked up from my silent contemplation to see the woman who doubtlessly called me here. She was short, compact may be the better word, with a sad little smile, hoping the world won't notice she stepped in. I gave her a nod and she sat down across from me. At the other tables, comfortable smiles formed that order had been restored to the coffee shop. At least that's the name I've got on the door, and you must be the woman who called earlier.
That's right, I'm Ellen. Ellen Campo. I need your help.
Yeah, with your husband. What's the trouble look like?
Matthew is a good man, Mr. Flynn.
Harry's fine, and there's nothing stopping a good man from getting into trouble. Is it drink? Gambling? Another woman?
No, it's none of those things. At least, I don't think it is.
I was doing my best to get her feeling comfortable, but she was looking around like if I set my cup down too hard, she'd dart. Ellen, I've never been too fond of guessing games. Why don't you just tell me what's going on?
My husband is a landlord. He handles a couple of apartment buildings and a little storage place. Now, one of his buildings is an hour and a half outside of the city, so it's not that strange for him to stay in an empty room for the night if he has to be back there in the morning.
Right, I hear you. Nothing wrong with sleeping where you work.
I wouldn't be bothered if it was for just one night, but he's been gone for four. And he hasn't called me for two. I tried calling him, but there wasn't an answer. I don't think he's up there, Harry, and I don't know what to do.
Can you tell me anything about how your husband was acting last time you saw him?
He seemed agitated, but I don't know. He looked so tired, and it was after midnight when he left.
After midnight? Did you two have a fight?
No. He just picked up, told me he had to work on the pipes, and left.
Can you describe your husband for me?
Oh, he's 5'11", broad shoulders, and dark hair, and he's got the bluest eyes you've ever seen. Here, I brought a picture of him.
Right. Well, Miss Campbell, I'll just need the address of the apartment building and where I can reach you after, and I'll check it out. It could be there's nothing wrong at all.
Thank you, Harry. Please find my husband and bring him home safe.
That's exactly what I intend to do. When a child runs off, there's only a couple of places to check. They could be at a friend's house, at the park, always somewhere nearby, because no 8-year-old is going to drive off to Florida with his mistress. But a grown man goes missing, and there's a whole world out there. If money runs short, he can get a job for a while and then move again. Sometimes when Deborah's getting on my case, I think of doing it too. But a job's a job, and this one had me driving an hour and a half out of town to explore an old apartment building. Problem was, it didn't exist. You're not listening to me, Officer...
Baker. Officer Baker.
I don't care what you do in your spare time. I need to know how to get to 48 West Oak Street.
See that big building right there?
Now you're helping, yeah.
The lot next to it is 48 West Oak Street. The apartments were torn down 7 years ago. The city's planning on putting in a museum.
Just like that, my case had gotten a whole lot more complicated. My best lead had collapsed, and I'd wasted almost 2 hours of daylight. So I asked the officer where I could get a gin and tonic, and he pointed me to a local bar. It was a worn-down-looking place, but the drinks came cheap and easy, so I decided to stay for a bit. As I made my way through my third drink, a gruff voice came from behind me.
Don't have many out-of-towners around here.
That a fact?
Makes me wonder what kind of business you got.
I turned around to see just what kind of man was talking to me and found myself craning my neck more than I strictly like to when I'm about to be snide. At his side was a girl with moony eyes who didn't seem thrilled by the direction of the conversation. No business, just personal. Looking for a friend of mine.
Oh, Bobby, come on, let the man have his drink.
No, no, I want to know what he's after. Snooping around and hiding in his big coat over here.
Look, friend, I don't want any trouble. Just looking for a friend of mine. Matthew Campbell, you heard of him?
Never heard of him.
And you?
I don't think so.
Here, I've got a picture of him. Any bells?
Isn't that...
Oh, it is. That's Andy Coleman.
I knew you weren't just here for fun. Come on, Crystal, let's get gone.
Hey now, remember, not looking for trouble. He goes by Andy Coleman here?
Yeah, he's this talent scout who drives out here looking for girls who can sing. My friend Meg tried out for him 4 months ago, and he told her she could get a record. He was up here just a couple of days ago, and he says she was doing just fine.
Uh-huh.
I just know he comes in here with his fancy suits, and it's nothing but trouble. I haven't heard nothing about no records from none of them.
Oh, hush. I bet they singing in fancy bars in the city. I just hope someday he picks me. Don't know why he hasn't. He's chosen at least a dozen girls.
I need to go make a call. Hey, did Andy choose anyone when he left this time?
Yeah, two girls. I don't know them well, but I think they's Jill and Carol.
Describe them for me.
Jill's late 20s, blonde hair, freckles. Oh, and she's got this little scar on her cheek. And Carol's got really short black hair and dimples. But you know what? I don't think Carol can really sing. I mean, she's absolutely...
Barkeep, I need to use the phone.
Make it quick. Hello?
Good, I was afraid you'd gone to sleep.
Harry, what the hell time is it?
Not important. The girl you found, describe her for me.
Between 25 and 30, fair skin, blonde hair.
Freckles and a scar on her cheek?
Yeah, but what's this about?
Damn, I'll talk to you later. I've got a 2-hour drive, and that's just the beginning of my night.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Rabid Dog, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Awkward situations. We all have them, and we all have our little ways to get out of it.
I think I left my oven on.
That's okay, I need to go... comb my hair.
No second date for them. Well, we've got a product that can take away all of the hand-wringing and stuttering. May I present to you, from the geniuses that brought you Shooter String, an amazing new product. The Shot Vest.
Shot Vest? Are you kidding?
I never kid about amazing new products.
Well, what does it do?
The Shot Vest is an innovative new product that fits on like a standard bulletproof vest. However, held in tiny heat-sensitive packets on the outside of the vest are miniaturized explosive pellets with fake blood. When your body temperature rises, the pellets explode, popping a hole in your shirt as though you've been shot.
Isn't that kind of extreme?
Perhaps, but it'll definitely get you out of any awkward situation you find yourself in. But don't take my word for it. Let's see what our valued customers think.
I ran into my boss at a bar during business hours and my Shot Vest went off. Instead of losing my job, I got 3 months of paid vacation while I recovered. Thanks, Shot Vest.
I was flirting with this girl on the bus and things were going great. I got off at her stop and her boyfriend was there. One Shot Vest burst later and he was doing hard time in county. I even married the girl.
One time, I went to go dancing with some of my friends. The Shot Vest went off out of nowhere and ruined my favorite shirt. But at least I've got a great story I can tell.
Not only do I advertise the Shot Vest, I also wear one 24/7. Why, just last week my idiot boss walked in and just as I was—
Hey! I heard that. You listen to me. You are fired. You hear me?
Ah!
Oh, man! I didn't shoot him! Oh, this is terrible. Hey, if you pull through, you're not fired. I'll go get a first aid kit.
Shot Vest just saved my job. Shot Vest, saving you from awkward situations by riddling you with bullets. Note, not legal in all states. May cause mild burning on the chest. Be sure to wear the right size Shot Vest to prevent potentially permanent injury or death. Shot Vest is not responsible for police action or incarceration.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I try not to make a habit of getting on the wrong side of the law, but when it's 11 at night and an innocent girl's life may be at risk, I figure speed limits are more suggestions. I parked in front of Ellen's house and ran to the front door. Unfortunately, it was locked and there was no answer. With lives in the balance, there was no time for subtlety. I punched in a window and climbed through to what looked like the living room. It was a mess, tables and chairs upended and broken plates all around. All signs of a struggle, and I wasn't particularly looking forward to figuring out who it involved. After making a quick sweep of the room, I followed a trail of dirty footprints to a set of stairs. Laying halfway up there, face down, was Ellen Campbell. Her hair was matted with blood from a hit with something heavy. Ellen, come on. Say something.
Who?
Matthew. He came home, didn't he?
I didn't think he—
That's all right now. Don't get upset. Just stay with me. Did he say where he's going?
I don't— Everything's fuzzy.
Damn it, I need to go find him. Where's the phone? We need to get you some help. I called in for an ambulance and for an officer to meet me in the alley where Jill was murdered. I parked next to the alley and looked around for a couple of minutes while I waited. A car pulled up and a fresh-faced cop got out and walked to me.
Harry Flynn, I'm Officer Rich Murphy. The chief told me to come down right away.
And he was right to do so. I need to know a thing or two about what happened here.
Absolutely. I found her. Just lying there.
Rich, I need you to stay with me. Did your team move anything other than her?
No, it should all be how you found it. We opened it for use this evening, but I doubt there have been many people coming through.
Did you clean up the blood?
What?
All I found was a little bit, but if someone was killed here, there'd be more.
Oh, no, I didn't clean anything. So that means...
Yeah, she wasn't killed here. This isn't the crime scene. Did you find anything else?
She seemed to have been hit in the head with some kind of a blunt object. We bagged and tagged a pipe, but it had been wiped of prints. It was marked for municipal use, so how the guy got it is beyond me.
All right. I need to take a run to the morgue. Get some of your people to find any warehouses where the city keeps construction materials. Especially privately owned warehouses. Keep a lookout for the names Matthew Campbell or Andy Coleman.
You've got it. Good luck.
You too. And move fast. There may still be a girl alive out there. I hopped back in my car and sped to the morgue. Murphy followed me with sirens on as long as he could, and I made the trip faster than I ever had. I made a quick note to ask Spinelli if I could get one of those horns. After a show of my license, I was standing down in the head mortician's office, looking at Thaddeus.
Ah, Harry Flynn. How are you doing?
Been better. I need some answers, and in a hurry.
Always happy to help. But I've got some other work I should really be attending to. And moving someone up the list of priorities can be rather... costly to my other work.
You know, every time I see you, I get a piercing pain in my wallet. Here's 50.
I'll get to you in 20 minutes.
Here's 70, and you may be saving a life.
Now, Harry, what can I help you with?
I need to see the girl who was brought in this morning. Late 20s. Blonde hair?
Ah, Jane Doe number 2 this month.
Jill, actually.
Right this way, then.
Thaddeus pocketed the money and led me into the morgue proper to find Jill. Seems he hadn't gotten to the autopsy yet, which was better for me. She was wearing a red blouse and a pair of black trousers that showed signs of wear. Probably from being dragged to the alley. On closer inspection, I found some dirt held in a crease of the pants that smelled of salt water.
Find everything you need?
Yeah, but I need to use your phone.
Well, that'll be an additional...
How about I use your phone and you don't leave with a black eye?
Talk about gratitude. It's in my office.
Spinelli, did Murphy get down there?
Yeah, Harry. He's been pulling up files on warehouses.
Good. Ask him if there's any by the water. Like, near the docks or something.
There are tons of warehouses near the docks, Harry.
Spinelli, there's more to it than that. Just ask him, quick.
All right. Hey, Murphy. Any by the docks? No? Right? Thanks. Just one. Want the address?
He gave me the location, and I ran back to my car, silently cursing that there wasn't some way to talk on the phone while driving. Of course, it'd take the longest phone cord in the world and get all tangled, but there's so much time wasted. I spent the time raging at Campbell or Coleman or whatever his name was, and praying that I wouldn't be greeted with another dead girl. The warehouse Murphy had found was maybe a block from the docks and was dark, except for a couple of security lights outside. Parked in front was a single black car that I pulled up next to. I killed the engine and got out. Piece in hand. The door to the warehouse was locked, so I jimmied it and let myself in as quietly as I could. I held still for a long moment, listening to see if anyone had heard me come in. Nothing. Good. I followed a hallway that had a view of the warehouse floor until I came to a door with a heavy bar across it. Carefully, I lifted it and went into the room, gun drawn and ready. Lying on the ground in front of me, hands tied behind her back, was a young woman with short black hair. I quickly knelt down and pulled the gag from her mouth. Carol, are you hurt?
No, my hands are numb.
That's all right. The feeling will come back. I'm Harry Flynn. I'm a private detective, and I'm here to get you out.
Thank God. I didn't think anyone would come.
Well, you're safe now. Just have to get you out of here. Just one problem left to deal with before we go.
Don't leave me, please.
I wanted to tell her to stay put, that it'd be safer. But I could see she couldn't, so I nodded to her. Stay close, and if I tell you to duck, you duck.
I promise.
I got up and offered her my hand. It was about then that I heard footsteps running down the hallway.
Carol. Who do you have in there, Carol?
Behind that crate, quick.
I hear someone in there with you. Who is it, I wonder?
Matthew Campbell's form came into the door. A dark, malicious sneer spread over his face, but I was more focused on the pistol in his hand. The second he saw me, he fired, and I had to throw myself behind the crate with Carol to get out of the way.
Out with your hands up. You give up peacefully, I'll let you live.
Who says you get to make that choice?
Well, I'm the guy with the gun.
You're not the only one. I fired at Matthew and he pulled back into the hallway, firing as he backed up. I waited for the right moment and fired again, hitting the frame.
Who are you?
Harry Flynn. I'm a private eye.
I would have thought you'd be a better shot.
I could say the same of a mass murderer. His bullet shot a chunk of wood off of the crate and nearly clipped Carol. If she got shot, I'd not exactly have taken care of things how I'd planned to. So I got up and made a sprint behind a different box, firing twice to draw his attention.
You realize you're not getting out of this alive. Neither of you are.
Is that the case? Mind letting your wife know she doesn't need to pay me then?
Why you?
For a moment he stepped halfway into the doorway, firing at me madly. I shot back, two quick fires barely missed him. His gun clicked and I stood up, only to almost have my head blown off as he pulled out another. As it was, my own gun wasn't going to sling anything but air.
Hands up now, or the next one's through your gut.
I raised my hands, moving out from behind the crate and doing everything I could not to glance at Carol. Matthew came closer, gun still raised at me.
So, a private eye. No backup? I guess you figured you could just come in like some kind of hero. Kill me, save the girl. Well, you aren't saving anyone, Copper. She's mine, and you won't take her from me. And once I'm done killing her, I'll kill you. Nice little bonus, if you ask me.
Nobody asked you. Luckily, the rat got too close. An empty gun's not good for much, but it'll weigh a punch like anything. After slamming across the face with my pistol, I jumped him and wrestled him to the ground. Maybe a couple of the wrestling moves involved some more face-punching than people normally would use, but I think I earned that. I grabbed his gun and stood up, keeping it pointed at him. Stay still, you got me?
Or what? You'll shoot me?
Not going to pretend I don't want to.
And what's stopping you? You don't have it in you. You can't kill a man in cold blood.
You know, my blood's running pretty hot. Stop pressing your luck.
Well, if you're going to kill me, get it over with.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm not a murderer. I'm not scum like you. I'm bringing you in, or you'll be tried in court.
If you bring me in, they'll kill me.
I don't care.
So righteous, but you bring me in and you'll be just like me. You'll be helping them to do to me just what you're sending me away for.
I don't kill innocent women. I don't prey on their fear. I'm nothing like you. But you know what? I'm looking forward to you getting the chair. 5 tense minutes later, the police burst in, led by Murphy. They had Campbell cuffed and in the back of a car within a minute. Even gave Carol a ride to the hospital. From what I understand, she hadn't been badly hurt, but would be dealing with it for the rest of her life anyway. I called Ellen and explained to her what happened. She never asked how much I would charge her, and I didn't have it in me to tell her. They didn't need me to be there, but a case like this, you want to see it put to bed.
Harry?
There she was, looking up with those same desperate eyes, but the little smile was gone. Looked like it had been for some time, too. She was dressed in black, but it seemed a good day to be. Ellen, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
If there's anything I can do...
There isn't, but thank you.
We stood solemnly in the hallway, neither really wanting to hear the confirmation that her husband was going to be fried.
With, everything, I realized I forgot to pay you.
No, there's no need. I'm not taking your money, not after I took your husband.
It wasn't you who took him, Harry. You saved that girl's life.
Yeah, and in doing so, I took your husband's.
I told you before that my husband was a good man. And he was. Once. I think. Maybe he never was. But with what he was doing...
I understand. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Harry.
After the hearing, I drove to Glenn's and got myself a drink. The radio was on, and the DA was talking about Matthew Campbell. I'm always surprised how fast these snake-in-the-grass politicians work. The newsman was asking how he could justify taking a man's life. But it was never like that. It was more like putting down a rabid dog.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Rabid Dog, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn, Brandy George as Deborah Sullivan, Crystal and Awkward Girl, Drake Nestor as Robert Murdoch, Thaddeus, Bobby, Officer Baker, and Commercial Announcer, Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Officer Spinelli, Barkeep, and Charming Guy, Mark Zurich as Rich Murphy, Matthew Campbell, Newscaster, Awkward Guy and Boss, and introducing Jennifer Momenzada as Ellen Campbell, Carol, Club Girl, Coffee Girl, and Business Girl. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook. Also, visit our wiki, www.harryflynn.wikia.com.